somebody. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells the church, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I believe with all of my heart, Christians, our faith is under attack like never before. When you watch in the news today, it's just amazing to me that circuit clerks are now finding themselves in a position where they have to sign a marriage license making two men husband and wife. I noticed the last marriage license I filled out, I think it said spouse and spouse. Come on. There's something wrong with that, church. There's something wrong with that. Our morality is changing so fast in this nation that unless God intervenes, this nation will fall. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're at a crossroads in America. Second definition, I love this one. An act or an instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction, the overcoming of a stalemate. Are you at a spiritual stalemate today? God wants to minister a breakthrough to you from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. An instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction. I believe there are many times in our Christian walk where something comes as an obstruction. There's something that gets in the way between us and God. Something in our life, something in our marriage, something in our finances. If you don't give to God the first fruits of your income, you can't expect God to pour out financial blessings. I'll be honest with you. That's a stalemate. That's an obstruction in your finances. When we can't turn loose of what we have, God will not turn loose of his blessing. Come on, it's just the principle of God's word. Hebrews 12 has an interesting thing about removing the obstructions. It begins with my favorite word, therefore. Throat's dry. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Saints of God, if you want to experience breakthrough in your life, not only do you have to remove the obstruction, but you have to fix your eyes on Jesus. If my eyes are only on Kathy, and she's a beautiful woman, but if my eyes are only on her, our marriage will not be what God designed it to be. That's why it's so easy to be so critical of our spouses. Because we get our eyes in the flesh and not on Jesus. Come on, somebody. Sometimes to experience our breakthrough, we have to throw off the things that have been hindering us. I like the last definition says this, and I'm ready to experience this today. Any significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or increase that removes a barrier to progress. Woo! I'm going to read that one more time. That'd make a mummy shout, and you guys aren't even getting excited. Any significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or an increase. How many could use an increase in your salary? My last one was 26 years ago, 28 years ago, something like that. Any significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or increase that removes a barrier to progress. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you need this in your business. You've been waiting and you've been looking and you're saying, God, I just need a breakthrough. God is promising that to you today. I believe that with all of my heart. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Now let's look at the pattern that we see through David here in the scriptures, the pattern for a breakthrough. Look at 1 Chronicles. Let me switch back. My computer gets stubborn sometimes. There we go. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, let's begin with verse 8. 1 Chronicles 14 and verse 8. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it and went out to meet them. And now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. The very first step of getting a breakthrough is you have to go through a crisis. It seems like God always does a breakthrough after you've been involved in a crisis. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Because when things are going well, you don't need a breakthrough. But all of a sudden, something happens in your life, in your business, in your marriage, or whatever, and you come to a stalemate, you come to a brick wall, you come to a point where you can't go any farther, and many times we have to come to a crisis. Now, I have told you again and again that I believe nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through the hands of a sovereign God. So if it comes this far, it comes with great purpose, and God will see me through. Can you say amen, somebody? First thing you got to do is you got to go through some sort of a crisis. How many know that's not something we like to face? The Bible tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. That's powerful, isn't it? We're not serving a God who keeps us from all problems. We're serving a God who takes us through our problems. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. God just healed my computer. Thank you, Jesus. First step of your breakthrough is God lets you go through some sort of a crisis. Now, you might be saying, Pastor Keith, I've got step one all down pat. I'm in a crisis. Good. We're on the right page. You with me? You see, sometimes your crisis is nothing more than an alarm clock to give you a wake-up call. Hello? Maybe your relationship is broken down. Maybe your finances have collapsed. Whatever it is, something propels you out of mediocrity, and that crisis, God can use it to turn it out for your good. Now look at verse 10. So what does David do? What's the next step that he does after he goes through a crisis? So David inquired of God. Real simple. What's the first thing you do when you go through a crisis? You pray. Amen. You go to God. Yes. Are you with me, church? Amen. Here's David, one of the greatest military generals of all time. A man whom they said about, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. He was not only a great general, he himself was a mighty warrior. He's just been anointed king, and the enemy wants to spoil his parade. So they come down to fight him. What does David do? Now, if I would have been David, because I'm not quite as good as David, I think my mind would have said something like this. God is really good at making animals. He can make rivers. He does all sorts of neat things, but I'm a general. So I don't think I need help on this one. Anybody like that? Come on, can anybody go along with what I'm saying? In our natural mind, your greatest enemy many times is your strengths and your abilities. You say, Pastor Keith, what's your biggest enemy? My talent. It's real easy for me to depend on my talents and my abilities. Come on, church. You got to go to God. Go to God. Say amen, somebody. Second step, David inquired of God. You say, that's just too simple, Pastor Keith. That is the very beginning of a breakthrough, is you go to God. The Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. I believe when we get to heaven, it's my own personal belief, but I believe one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see all that we had to our avail. I believe there's some kind of a huge storeroom up there that has all these miracles and all these things that we need. And God's going to say, I gave you the keys. Why didn't you unlock it? Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So David inquired of God, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Now look at this. The Lord answered him, go. I will hand them over to you. See, the next step is go. Go in faith. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that find themselves in a crisis and they will pray. But where they miss it with God is they don't go. Go can also be translated obey. God said, David, go. Come on, church. God tells us when we are truly hungry and seeking His face, God will tell you what to do. He doesn't just leave you helpless. You know what He said? He said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, and He will guide you into all truth. He'll teach you all things concerning me, Jesus said. Come on, isn't that true? The Lord answered, go, I will hand them over to you. Sometimes I wish I could hear God like some of them did in the Old Testament where it was just so clear. I wanted to see what crisis meant. I looked up the Greek word crisis. You see, it looks like K-P-I-O-N. It's actually spelled krisi. And look at what the meaning of crisis is in Greek. It means a decision, choice, or a judgment. When a crisis comes into your life, it's a decision point. Will I trust God? Will I depend upon God and exercise my faith? Or will I be overwhelmed by my problems? That blew me away. Crisis, it's just a decision. It just means, you know what I say when I personally go through a crisis? When the enemy's attacking me, I say, devil, you're building a testimony. I'm going to get up in front of all those people at church and I'm going to tell them how God came through for me. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you make a choice. And what does it mean, a judgment? A judgment means you say, Jesus said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is this God's will in heaven? No, not this crisis. So then it's not God's will down here and I don't accept it. I'm on my way out. I'm going to experience a breakthrough. What is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? One of the greatest verses in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. First you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then you don't lean on your own understanding. That's the hard part. Because I trust God, and then my understanding says, ooh, you better not do this. I got to tell you something. Most of the things God has told me to do have been crazy and impossible. Like when He told me to buy this church and sign my name to $1.2 million. I must have been on something. It was impossible in the natural, but you know what? My God has met every need we've ever had. And then all your ways acknowledge Him. What does that mean? It means after you trust Him, after you don't lean on your own understanding, you obey what God has said, then you're going to see a breakthrough. And God says, acknowledge me. Say, this is from God. This is not from me. Come on. The blessing I've received, the financial blessing I've received, everything in my life I've received, I owe to the Father. Look at verse 11. So David and his men went up to Baal-perazim. And there he defeated them. It might just be a play on words, but I got to say then that the next steps go up. David went up. You see, I believe that when trials come in your life, they're sent to propel you to the next level God has for you. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. David and his men went up to Baal-perazim. That's where he got a revelation of the God of breakthroughs. And there he defeated them. It's amazing, isn't it? And he said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal-perazim. You know what I love about David? He was quick to give God the credit and the glory. He said, God did this. I didn't do it. It wasn't my mighty hand, my mighty work. God did this. Look at verse 14. I'm almost done. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley. Now, I would like to tell you that once you experience and encounter a breakthrough, the enemy will never bother you again. I'd like to tell you that. But it would be a lie. Those Philistines came again. As a matter of fact, they're still coming against David. They're called the Palestinians now instead of the Philistines. Come on. Here comes the devil again. I looked it up. I think it's something like 286 times, was it, that the word Philistines is in the Bible? That was David's thorn in the flesh. And like 8 times their land is mentioned in the Bible. So they were a constant source of irritation to David and the Israelites. And here they come again. Now, if you'd have been David, what would you have done? I know what God's going to say, so I'm just going to go down, I'm going to go down, I'm going to go up, I'm going to fight them, and then I'm going to win. How does David respond? David inquired of God again. I love that. Why does the Bible call David? God said something about David that he never made a statement about with anyone else in history. What did he call him? This is a man after my own heart. Now, does it mean that David is exactly like God? No, I believe it's meant David was a man who was after the heart of God. God, I want what you've got. I want to know you. I want to know what you want me to do. He was after God's heart. We think it means he was some kind of perfect person. It don't. It meant he sought the heart of God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Now, look at this. And God answered him. Oh, do not go straight up. Imagine that. But circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. And as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. Picture, if you would, David's generals were used to him inquiring of God. David's mighty men, they knew David's going to go pray, and he's going to get the answer from God, and we're going to listen. So David comes back, and he's got his strong men, and he tells them, this is what God said. We're not going to go up this time. We're going to go circle around, and we're going to wait till we hear people walking in the top of the trees. And then we're going to go. Okay, David, I'm with you, man. Imagine the young new recruit, though, who wasn't familiar with David yet. And David says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go circle the place, and then we're going to wait till we hear people walking in the trees. And that will mean God's for us, and we're going to go up. I think David has lost it. Church, don't worry if what God speaks to you sounds impossible. Because we're serving a God who, with God, all things are possible. Amen. God said, the reason you're going to hear sound of people walking on top of the trees is because I'm going out in front of you and I'm going to strike down the Philistine army. That's pretty cool. David, you're not going to have to fight this one because I'm going to go out and just strike them down. Lord, do that to ISIS. My heart has been so grieved watching those refugees this week flood into Hungary and Hungary and going eventually to Germany. And you see all these people fleeing their homelands. The little baby that washed up on the shore broke my heart. Broke my heart. But we need a nation. We need a leader in this nation who will call this nation to prayer. We need men and women of God in this nation who will seek God's face. And we need to say, look, we need God to give us a battle plan. Amen. Come on. I believe with all of my heart, as I preach this message, and it's a simple message, when God gave it to me, I thought, Lord, I need something to go with it because that seems awful simple. Your plan for a breakthrough is to pray and then obey. Isn't there something else, God? He says, that's it. You just pray, and then you obey. Everyone bow your head just for a minute, because I know when I was seeking God this morning, God put in my heart that He has a desire to give you breakthroughs this morning. First thing I want to speak forth this morning is if you're here today and you need a breakthrough in your marriage, you say, Pastor Keith, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just simply saying, Pastor Keith, we just need a breakthrough in our relationship and in our marriage. Would you just pray that God would just minister a breakthrough? Would you put your hand up, put it right back down? Nobody's looking. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Take hands with the person beside you right now. We're going to pray a prayer. I was going to have you walk up here, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. I want to see your breakthrough. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone who raised their hand today. I'm asking you, God, to fulfill your word you spoke in my heart. I'm asking you for a breakthrough in those marriages. I'm asking you, God, that today moms and dads would begin seeking your face and asking you to touch their marriage, to heal their relationship, oh God. And right now, by your mercy and grace, pour out your healing touch upon those in this place that need healing. God, we need you to touch homes today. We need you to heal marriages in this church that are suffering, and I know they're hurting. So God, in the name of Jesus, we as a congregation, we extend our faith right now for a breakthrough. Say it with me. Breakthrough in marriage. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to know how many today would say, Pastor Keith, I need some kind of a breakthrough in my finances. I need some kind of a miracle and a breakthrough in my finances. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just put your hand up. God sees it. He sees it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for every man, every woman that raised their hand in this place right now for a breakthrough financially. God, I pray, first of all, that they would honor you and give to you, because then you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't even be room enough to receive it. But God, I pray that jobs would come forth for those that need them. I pray that raises would come forth, God, for people, Lord, that need a financial miracle. I ask that checks would come in the mail, that you would supernaturally provide the needs. God, bless the businesses of this church. May they prosper in Jesus' name. God, we ask you for supernatural wisdom to come upon us, God, to know what to do and make decisions. In the name of Jesus. Third thing God spoke to me today was that there's some of you that walls have come between you and your teenagers. And you say, Pastor Keith, this is a tough one. Maybe they're sitting beside you. I don't know. But listen, if you're here and you say, Pastor Keith, I need a breakthrough to know how to raise my kids. I need a breakthrough for something to help in that relationship. Put your hand up right now. Come on. Put your hand up. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, Lisa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Stretch your hand this way. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for a miracle today. I ask you to touch. In Jesus' name, I ask you for a miracle and a breakthrough. God, we need to see that breakthrough today. So right now, in Jesus' name, pour out your love. And I'm asking you for healing and a miracle right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Mama, put your arms around her. That healing is going to come. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, somebody. This mama said, I'm taking my breakthrough today. Come on. Today. In the name of Jesus. Bring it forth, God. In the name of Jesus. I praise you for this breakthrough. Today is your day. It will not be the same from this day forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's such a beautiful anointing in this place today. I feel God's presence here. Amen. I want to see a breakthrough in our city. I want to see churches lose the competitive factor and begin to realize that we're on the same team, and we begin to seek the face of God and turn to Him for healing for this city. Rockford needs a touch from God. I believe revival has begun, and Rockford needs a touch from God. But it begins with us humbling ourselves and praying and seeking God's face. Thank you, Father. Just wait upon Him. Thank you, Father. Mighty God. Mighty God. God, I pray for a breakthrough for our city. I ask you to touch the leaders of the city. Give them wisdom, God. God, we're tired of being at the bottom. We're tired of being at the top of all the bad lists, God. I'm asking in Jesus' name that the nation, our nation would hear of Rockford. Our nation, this city would be known as a place of revival. A place where God has broken through the heavenlies in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I've never had this problem before, but I've got 15 minutes left. I usually take an extra. I've almost got 20 minutes. I usually take an extra 20. But when something's done, you don't overcook it. I learned that. There's been a wonderful spirit in this place today. How many have just witnessed that? Come on. Yes. Amen. Give Him a praise. Come on. I am expecting testimonies in the days to come about your breakthrough. Marriages are going to be different from today on. Listen, it is. You obey what God tells you to do. Maybe He's going to tell you to buy her some flowers. Maybe He's going to tell you to write your husband and let him know how you feel. Come on, somebody. You obey what God tells you, and you're going to see a breakthrough. I'm believing with all of my heart there's going to be some breakthrough financially in this place. Come on, church. We have gone through a breakthrough as a church. Listen, God has busted us through what we were at a stalemate for years, and I'm like, God, what is wrong? And all of a sudden, we began praying. And then when we obeyed, we have experienced a breakthrough. I believe it with all my heart. And it's going to happen to you too. God is going to break through in your business. He's going to break through in your finances. You're going to see Him come through for you. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Amen. I want you to remember as we close today the special need with the funeral expenses. If you're able to help us, we would really appreciate that. And also, if you can see Sue and sign up today for the prayer over the city of Rockford, it's going to be a great thing. I believe we're going to be declaring the word of God over our city, and it's going to work. Can you say amen? The reading of God's word and praying over our city is going to make a difference and a change. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's close in prayer. Come here, Miss Kathy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, as we close this service right now, we do so with thanksgiving that we believe we've heard from you today. We believe you spoke to us today. And now, God, we are going to obey you. We are going to believe and expect breakthroughs to happen in our life. Breakthroughs in our city. Breakthroughs in our nation. And we believe this in Jesus' name. And God, I ask that you would, as we go from this place, we would go expecting a miracle and giving thanks for what you've done. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. Enjoy your weekend of...